Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is daf Ayin Zayin. So we were in the middle of describing the machlokes between Doeg on the one hand and Avner, and then Amasa's testimony that actually this is halacha l'mesh miSinai, and that there is no way to argue about it, and that David HaMelech is mutter. Now the truth is that obviously Doeg was not aware that there's halacha l'mesh miSinai, so he thought that we were talking about a psak bezdin. So he came to argue on the bezdin. You have a right to argue on a bezdin, even though it's a later bezdin. That's the halacha as the Rambam defines it, and every generation can argue on any generation before. So the fact that bezdin had paskened up until that time, as obviously they did, because when he went in, the Doeg went into the bezdin, they told him it's amoni velo amonit. So when he was arguing, this is the way the Briskarov explains the issue, and it's very simple. I don't know why, you know, we even need to have some kind of fancy Briskarov on it, because it's a Dover Poshet. This is the way the Rambam understands Bechlal, all of these halachas, which is why the Rambam brings the din of Amoni velo Amonit. He goes out of his way to say it's halacha l'mesh miSinai. As the Smark says, it's halacha l'mesh miSinai. But so long as they held that it was only a way that Bezdin had learned it out, so then you can argue on it as much as you want. That explains, I think Reuven Margolius pointed this out as a double portion. That explains why the Goel said that I cannot take root because of Amoni velo Amonit. Because the Gemara says, Hu ta'a ba Amoni velo Amonit. So what, he thought it was Usher? No, he didn't say it was Usher. Because he said, pin ashchit et nachalati. He didn't think it was, I mean, what's he saying? Well, I don't want to destroy my future. He said, what do you mean? It's usher. I can't do it. Something's very weird for a guy to say, well, I can't marry a woman who's usher to me because people may end up, you know, saying bad things about nachalati. That's the issue. That is Dover Pashit. And he was saying, yes, of course now I understand that it's mutter. So you're telling me, why shouldn't I marry? And what if in 3 generations from now or 10 generations from now, this idiot Doeg is going to come along and he's going to say that it's usher and they'll paskin like him? Okay, so that was good for the Shaila. That's why we needed to have, at the time of Rut, of course, this entire Gemara is Achana for Shavuos. That's why we needed to have, at the time of Rut, we needed to have the Edus of Boaz that it was mutter. That's why Boaz had to first make sure that the Goel was the one who was going to do the Geula. And he said, yeah, I'll do it. So then Boaz was not involved. And because of that, he was able to gather together 10 people and to be made in front of them that this is halacha l'mesh miSinai, that she's muteret, and there's no problem. And Dafki was doing that in order to be mater to the Goel, you see. So at that point, the Gemara's problem of we're not going to believe Amasa was married to Avigail. So obviously he had a vested interest. You can't believe a guy who's got a vested interest. That's the point that Tosis brings over here, that when the Gemara says you can't accept an edus from someone when it's at the time, it doesn't mean just because it's at the time. It means it's at the time where he might have an interest. That's what it means. What do you care when it is? But since over here Amasa had an interest, we couldn't accept it. Mashen ken Boaz, he went out of his way to see to it that it was the Goel who was going to be taking root. So when he was made something which was against his vested interest. He was saying, go ahead and marry her. So if I have a vested interest in marrying this girl, so why am I saying that you should go ahead and marry her? And that's the whole point. It's beautiful. Okay, so the whole Megillah that looks totally different based on this Gemara, you see. So it's actually amazing. Okay, so I think we got up to, if I'm not mistaken, to the words kitanoi, I think. Is that right? Or maybe not. Maybe we got, you know what, whatever, even if I'm not 100% sure, it doesn't.
Before, we did the piece about a cult food that
I've never seen. So maybe not. Fine. Yeah, I think you're right. We got up to Shmuel Beitino Kayam. Okay, so we got up to Mikoma Komkasha. So now what do we do with all of this problem? Because as Doeg pointed out to them, it's all very nice to say that Ein Darkasha Isha, It's true in Darkar Shalisha to go out and greet men, but why can't the women go out to greet the women? So there still should be a taina in the Torah Dvar Asher Lo Kidmu Etchem. So over here in Bovel, Halcha Tergemu Kol Kvuda Bat Melech Pnima. So here they said the reason is because since it says in the Pasuk that there is an inyan for a Bas Melech, and all of Klal Yisrael is a Bas Melech, so because of that, they should stay indoors. You don't just go walking around. They will go walking around. So where would the Benot Moav, they're not Benot Melechim, obviously, but where would they come to go and to greet who? The women should go to greet what women? There were no women. It's not that. What, Benos Yisrael are going to come out and go into the marketplace and walk around and do business with the Moavim? That's ridiculous. They would never have been there. And this requires the Pasuk in Tehillim. But Marova Amri, what do you have to go look to Tehillim? And why should we trust the Tehillim anyway? Maybe David HaMelech is sticking in this Pasuk, you know, just to justify his own history. So better we should go to Bereishis. In Bereishis, it says that when the Malachim come, they say to Avram Avinu, which Malachim were these, by the way? What were they going to do? Oh my gosh. They were going to rescue Ruta Moavia for David. So the whole story is interrelated. Make no mistake about it, right? This idea of Kokfuda about Melech Pnima, I mean, this is unbelievable. Ein darkam shall anashim latzeit, right? Who were the most latzeit women in the entire world? Benos Moav. That's the whole point. The whole thing is just unbelievable. So these are the women. They're the ones who go out to be machshel you. This is the whole story of Bilam. That's what happens when you follow the Eitzah of Bilam. This whole thing, according to the Yerushalmi, is only because of the Eitzah of Bilam. Because the Yerushalmi says, what do you mean, Advar Asher Lo Kidmu? They did. Moshe Rabbeinu said Beferish, you know, Kasher Asar B'nei Moav. They brought us out food and drink, and they did business with us. So why don't you do the same thing? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Esav. So therefore, we need also the fact that they Asher Sachru the Bilam ben Beor to go and to be Mekalel you. So then, so now all of a sudden everything works out. You took Bilam, and therefore the Benos Moav now end up being Mutarot, because they actually, in the end, do come out because of Asher Sachru. Okay, so it's all very, very fascinating interrelationships over here. In any event, Kitanoi. Turns out that there's a Machlokes Tanoim. So one Brita said, we darshan it from Amoni, velo Amonit, Moavi, velo Moavit. So this is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, it's because Advar Shalokid Muetchem Belechem Uvamayim. And therefore it's Darka Shal Ish Lekadem, velo Darka Shal Isha Lekadem. So Tosis points out the obvious question. So then how, in fact, if it's a Machloket, and Rabbi Yehuda says that the Makor in the Pasuk would be the Amoni velo Amonit, so then how did he answer the Kasha that Doeg asked? Because Doeg pointed out a very good Kasha. So then why don't you darshan Mitzri velo Mitzrit? And yet in the end we're not Matir the Mitzrit, Tainas Doeg. So Tosva says, because by Amoni velo Amonit, there is a reason to be Dorish. Because why didn't the Torah say Amon Umoav Lo Yavo? Why does it say Amoni? There's more letters in Amoni. Remember, the Torah always chooses the shortest possible lashon for the deepest concentration of information. So when it comes to Mitzri, what's the Torah supposed to write? Mitzrayim? That's much longer than writing Mitzri. So over there it says Mitzri. Males always include females. But when it came to Amon Umoav, over there it should have said Amon Umoav, not Amon Evil, an Ammonit. Must be a reason. That's the reason. To tell me Amoni velo Amoni, Moavi velo Moavia. Masha Enkein, even though when it says Adomi, so over there it could have said Edom, but since it couldn't say Mitzrayim, it couldn't say Edom. So once it said Mitzri, it said already Adomi. Got it? Beautiful. Everything good, boys. Come on. put those thinking caps on and let's get into it, because this is hot stuff. I mean, exactly what we need to know in order to prepare for the Geula next week. And why next week, friends? I mean, don't intend to wait no week. No. Why next week? Chas v'chalila. Same way we got rid of that guy from the Revolutionary Guards, we can get rid of all of the Oyvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply needs to wave a finger and that's it. It's all gone. Goodbye. Goodbye. And good riddance. Chutzpah that they have. What a chutzpah that they have. It's amazing. It's like, I'm like the tolerance level that they're allowed to exist before I walk around. Absolutely amazing. Okay, anyway, so that would explain why we have both of these Lashonos. Excellent. Ketanoi, we said. Okay, Bachlokas Revita Rabbi Shimon, Advasha Lokidmuetchem, so on. Dorash Ravas, beautiful words of David HaMelech taking into consideration these droshes. So Dorash Rova, Maidichtiv, when David HaMelech speaks out some of these beautiful Tehillim, where he speaks about how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved him and cared for him. So it says over there, Rabot Asita Ata Hashem Elokai, Niflotecha Umachshevotecha. Oh, sorry, I'm at the first pasuk. Maidichtiv Pitach Talamos Seirai. What are the Moserai? What are these ropes that are going to hold David back? Omar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shribono shel Olam, Shnei Moserot shayu alai pitachtem. You released the two Moserot because basically the Malchus based David is dependent on Rut and on the Amma, which is Moav and Ammon. And Bepashtas, it's Mashma that they're Asurais. And you were matir them in order that I and my Malchus should survive. That's Ruta Moaviyah and Na'amah Ammonit. Na'amah Ammonit, remember, was the mother of Rechavam. So that means that the whole continuation of Malchus Beis David, where was David himself was mutter because of this drasha, and Rechavam was mutter after Shlomo married Na'amah, that became the mocker to that is the pasuk, Amoni velo Amonit. Dorash Rava, note the interesting pasuk is Rabot Asita Ata Hashem Elokai, so much you've done for us. Niflotecha Umachshevotecha Eleinu. What does the Eleinu mean? Who's the Lashon Rabim? Us. I thought he's talking about himself and the Inyan of Rut HaMoaviyah. Therefore, note that it doesn't say Eli, it says Eleinu in this pasuk, right? So this teaches us, you have to see the scene. David HaMelech is sitting there and his grandson, who is Rechavam, who is destined to be the Melech after Shlomo, is sitting in his lap. And David HaMelech is talking to his grandson. And he's saying, ah, Melamed Shaya Rechavam Yoshev Bechekosha David. Omar Lo, and David HaMelech says to him, listen here, little boy. Alaiva Alecha Nemushte Mikraot Alalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah these psukim, Amoni and Moavi, for me and for you. Dorash Rova, Maidichtiv. What does it mean when David HaMelech writes, Az Amarti? Then I said, oh my God, Hine Bati Mimigilat Sefer Ketuvalai. I used to think. Ani Amarti Ata Bati. I used to think like we all do. Whatever events, you know, they're just local events. So I thought, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose me to be Melech. You know, it was this whole Maisa with Shol, with Plishti, with the, you know, okay, I understand these things happen. And now I understand what really happened. Ani Amarti Ata Bati. I thought I just came into being right now, my whole history. It just sort of happened. And I didn't even realize that Sefer Bereishis was written about me. Because when we talked about Shtei Benotecha Nimtzaot, the Nimtzaot is the two girls that are the Shtei Benotecha that gave birth to Rut and to Naama. And that is Moav, Amonu Moav, with the story of Lot. And the Malachim are there referring to the Nimtzaot. And here, that's why it says, Matzati David Avdi. Matzati is because of Nimtzaot. You see, you think everything is just like bumping into a mitzia. By the way, What is compared to the coming of Mashiach, gentlemen? Shnei dvarim boim behesach hadat, geula and metzia. You bump into something, right? That's the nimtzaot. Matzati David avdi b'shemen kodshi mishachtiv. Omar ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going to start a discussion over here. It seems a little bit complicated. It's really very straightforward. So I think what I'll do is just to make sure that it's clear and simple on a very partial level, I'll tell you over in advance, because otherwise you can end up going back and forth a million times and so on. I'll tell you what it actually goes on over here in advance. And then we'll go over it in the Gemara, because otherwise I'm afraid you'll get lost. So, Ula says that Rabbi Yochanan came along. This opening, let's learn. Omar Ula Om Rabbi Yochanan. Bat ger amuni is kshera lekuhuna. So here we understood this to mean that in the event that a ger, a amoni and his wife, who is an amonite, they both become gerim, and they both now are Jewish, and they have a daughter, and now this daughter wants to marry into the kuhuna, there's no problem. Such a woman is perfectly kosher. This is Ula quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Ula's son, that's Rava Bar Ula, Ula's son says to Ula, I don't understand what you just said. What is the point? Excuse me. I mean, we had a machlokas before. Remember, we had the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. What is the din of a Kohen marrying the daughter of a ger? So he said, Rabbi Yehuda said, that any daughter of any ger, forget about Amon Umoa, the daughter of a ger, bat ger zachar, if it's a male, that daughter has the same din as a bat halal. So that even though there's no pigam in terms of the bia and so on and so forth, but nonetheless, it's the same thing as a halalut. So it's pasul kuhuna. It's the same as a bat halal zachar. So obviously, daddy, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan couldn't have been talking about the din alibet Rabbi Yehuda. That's ridiculous. I mean, an amoni is not going to be better than anybody else. Fine. So we're not talking about the Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So you must be telling me according to Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Rabbi Yossi's Shita, remember we had before, that a ger that has a wife was a gioret, the daughter is perfectly kosher lekahuna. What's the problem? Both of them are gerim, the daughter is kosher lekahuna. But then it's pashat. Because what added problem is there of the fact that the father is an amoni? Who cares? I mean, he wasn't doing any iser, was he, when he married his wife, the Ammonite? He's perfectly okay with his marrying the Ammonite. So it's pashat. What was Rabbi Yochanan thinking that he needs to say something that any kid knows? He says that a ger shenasa giyor bitok sher lekahuna. Now, I understand, says Ula's son, Rabba, to Ula. I understand what you're going to tell me, but when you think about it, it doesn't really add up, right? What's your reaction? I'm asking you guys, what's your reaction? Is it really the same? I mean, it's not really the same because Rabbi Yochanan is inserting a case where there's a problem with the father, that the father was an Ammoni. So therefore, he's coming to tell me, even though the father was an Ammoni and it doesn't follow directly from what it was that Rabbi Yossi said, it's still his daughter is kosher lekuhuna. But that's ridiculous. Why would the fact that the father is an Ammoni add an additional problem to the daughter? It doesn't make any sense at all. Because, I mean, what would be the logic, right? The fact that he's usher. Where would you get the fact that he's usher? Where would you get that affecting a daughter? Where the daughter, for sure, I mean, even if she was an Ammonite, it's not, there's no isser, so what's the problem? I don't get it. So maybe you'll tell me, we'll learn it out of a Kohen Gadol ba'almana. So if a Kohen Gadol who marries an almana, his daughter is pasul lekuhuna, so the Ammoni passes his daughter lekuhuna. That's ridiculous, because the Kohen Gadol who married an almana did something wrong. There's an avera in the bia, right? But there's no avera in the bia of an Ammoni with an Ammonite, so that can't be the reason from a Kohen Gadol is ridiculous. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, I mean, why does the avera have anything to do with it? isn't a cholol. Does a cholol doing an avera when he marries somebody? Of course not. A cholol marries a regular nice Jewish girl. The cholol himself is a big Rosh Hashiva in Teras Keanim Yeshiva, except that he can't do the avera himself. Okay, fine. So is his daughter pasul? Yes. Does that not prove to you you don't need averas to make pasul daughters for kuna? Exactly. So therefore you'll say to me, so that may be why Reb Yochanan had to say, you don't need averas if you are a ger amoni, you got a problem. Really now. The creation of a cholol involved an avera, didn't it? He only became a cholol because somebody married someone that they weren't supposed to. Naughty, naughty. And therefore we have a cholol. So, I mean, but what in the world? Here everybody is wonderful, fine people. They're all doing the best they can do. This family came and said the family that prays together stays together. They both became Jewish together and they have this daughter. And now, I mean, well, what's the havamina that there's something wrong? Ah, so I know what you're going to say. This is all these things are the thoughts of Ula's son, right? So you're going to say, the Rebbe's unhappy again. I don't get it. We'll have to give over a new shir. So you're going to say, give me a smile. This is outrageous. I understand that there's a problem because you're not on the same side of the screen as Gavi. But basically, it's close. It's just one step to the other side of the world. So now, the question is like this. You're going to say, let's make it Tzad HaShavah. It's true that if I try to learn out from a Kohen Gadol and an Alman, I'll say, but what do you mean? But there was an Avera there. So therefore, I'll show you, but a Cholo. Ah, but a Cholo came from an Avera. Well, so then I'll show you Kohen Gadol and Almana. The Tzad HaShava Shebehen is that, now this is a very strange Tzad HaShava, but I'm assuming this is what you want to say, right? This is a very cute Tzad HaShava. The Tzad HaShava Shebehen is that both of them have a story. An interesting Tzad HaShava. Both of them have a story. So too does the daughter of a Ger Amoni. He's got a story. There's something over there. People have something to talk about. Oh, this guy's a Ger Amoni. Oh, this girl is the daughter of a Kohen Gadol who took an Amana. Oh, his father was a Chol. Okay, so they all have stories. So maybe you'll try to tell me that wherever you have a story, that the daughter should be puzzled to a Kohen. I mean, Daddy, I don't think that that's a very reasonable Tzad HaShavah. There's an obvious Tzad HaShavah. The Tzad HaShavah is that in both of these cases, there is an Avera involved. When we talk about the Kohen Gadol taking an Almana, there's a Kohen Gadol an Avera involved. When we're talking about the presence of a Cholol, how do you think he got there? He must have gotten there through an Avera, right? Okay, but why would Rabbi Yochanan think that this poor Ger Amoni, for some reason, is going to be different than anybody else? So I still do not understand why it is that you're bringing this halacha from Rabbi Yochanan. May I respectfully make a suggestion? This is all the conversation between Ula's son and Ula, right? So may I respectfully make a suggestion? And that is that Rabbi Yochanan was not talking about the family that prays together, stays together. Rabbi Yochanan was actually talking about a naughty boy. And this was an Amoni who, yes, he did become a ger, but he went ahead and he married a Jewish girl, even though he's a male Amoni, and a male Amoni is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl, right? Okay, so he did an Avera. Maybe that's the case. So Rabbi Yochanan is coming to tell me that over there, even though there was an Avera involved, and Rabbi Yossi wasn't talking about a case where there was an Avera involved. Even so, the halacha is that the girl is perfectly okay to marry into the kuhuna. Maybe that was the chiddush. Oh, says Ula, lovely, lovely, such a smart boy. Yes, of course, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. Now, I remember, because actually, Ravin, when he quoted Rabbi Yochanan, what he said was, that what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about was the daughter of a Ger Amoni or the daughter of a Mitzri Sheni, both of whom were not supposed to be marrying Jewish girls, but who did. Rabbi Yochanan said that those girls are kosher, of course. And that's exactly the point over here. Actually, Reish Lakish said that they're pasul. And the reason Reish Lakish said that they're pasul is that he learned it out from the Amon HaKohen Gadol, which we just talked about. But now it's in the context of there being an Avera, so you could learn it out from an Amon HaKohen Gadol. So Amon HaKohen Gadol, where there was an Avera involved, Enoch Inami, the daughter is pasul, whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, no, the daughter is still kosher. Because I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a further story of what happened with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a Talmud by the name of Rabbi Zakkai. Not to be confused, of course, with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is Rabbi Yochanan the Amora, who has a Tana by the name of Zakkai. It's all coincidental, like everything else in life. So, he had this Talmud, Rabbi Zakkai. Okay. So, Rabbi Zakkai said over a Braita in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and what he said was that here is the drosha on the pasuk of a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry ki im betula mi'amav yikach isha. You know what that comes to tell me? That comes to tell me that a purebred gioret is kosher l'kuhuna. Now, a purebred kuhuna, what that, the word that we use, very interesting word, a gioret mikana. The word mikana is like the word that we used for, in the Beis HaMikdash, we have that word, right? The, what do we have a kan for? Where you wash your hands, the kior v'kano. So what is a kan? It's a basis, as Rashi says. A basis. So a gioret from her own base, meaning that she comes straight out of the nation that she comes from. So that would be the case of a ger, amoni, and amonit, the first case, with a family that prays together, stays together, right? They became giorim together, and they had this daughter, and so on. And she is kosher l'kuhuna. Rabbi Yochanan's response to that was, because this is the point, this is what we thought Rabbi Yochanan had said, correct? We thought Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a ger amoni who married a ger amonit and that the daughter is kosher l'kuhuna. But in the end, you, my dear boy, explained to me that no, we're talking about a ger who married illicitly. He married a regular Jewish girl. That's what the case was, okay? And in fact, I'm going to show you that that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Zakkai, what? I learned from this pasuk, Betula Mi'amav, exactly the opposite thing that you learned. I learned that Betula Mi'amav does not mean a Betula who comes from her own base. I learned that Amav means two different nations. Why does it say me'amav? Didn't it bother you? What do you mean, betula me'amav? How is it me'amav? It's me'amo, no? I mean, unless he's got a real split personality, this Kohen Gadol, I mean, we should just marry a betula me'amo. So therefore, I say that's the whole point. The whole point is that a betula can come not entirely from one nation, can come from two nations. What is that coming to tell me? That's coming to tell me that in a case where the ger married a Jewish girl, so it's two different nations, right? Mishnei Amamim. And you tell me that the pasuk means a gioret that's coming from her own kana? No. Ridiculous. Okay, Rebbe, Zoom has fixed it now through the intervention of your tefillas. It's time for a smile. I see you're struggling not to smile, but you're right there next to the gabbai. There we go. Exactly. So, how do you say such a ridiculous pshat? You say it's a giorit mikana, and that's it. Now, let me explain to you, what is the meaning of a woman from two separate nations? What do you think that's talking about? Shnei amamim. You'll say, maybe shnei amamim is my case, says Rabbi Zakkai. It's an amoni and an amonit, and the reason that we're called shnei amamim is because the males are usur, but the females are mutter. That can't be, because you just said a giorit. Mikana is the pshat that he's being docha. So therefore, when he says Shnei Amim, he must be coming to talk about an Amoni that married a Bat Yisrael. Beautiful. That is the conversation. We understand now what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. Let us catch up now quickly in the Gemara and see all of this inside. And now it will read in a very straightforward, excuse me, fashion. But first, a drink. To be in Barnea's neighborhood. Excellent. Okay, so we begin. Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bat Ger Amoni, Ksher Lekuna. So Rava Bar Ula says to Ula, Kema, according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that's not true. He says any Bat Ger Zohar is Psula Lekuna, like a Halal, Kibat Halal Zachar. And according to Rabbi Yossi, I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me, Pshita, Ha'amar Av Gershma Sagioret Bito Ksher Lekuna. V'chi tema, maybe you'll tell me that's different. Rabbi Yossi was talking about a ger that was kosher to marry, lavo b'kahal. Marshenken, in this case, the ger almoni is not roy lavo b'kahal. Maybe not. Excuse me, but why is there any difference? Minole, is it because the olafi koin gadol ba'almona? That's not a very good place to learn it from. Mala koin ba'almona, there's an avera in the bia. So can't be a toba avera. So, okay, you could tell me, well, a halal proves that you don't need an avera to make a psul. Yeah, but a halal, you do need an avera. Because somewhere up the line, somebody did an avera to make him a halal, right? So, can you tzira toba avera? So you'll tell me, well, going godo yuchiach, there's no yitzira toba avera. Chazradin. Lori izek, rizeh, valori izek, rizeh. What's the tzara shava shabam? It's not a normal story, you know. She'eno barov kahal, ubito psula. So maybe same thing is true over here. It's not a normal story. The grandfather over here, it all came from a gerev, it was from Ammon, so the grandfather is an Ammon. Afkan she'eno barov kahal, bito psula. I will answer you that that's a pretty silly tzara shava. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. So they're really malat tzada shaveshaben, shekein yesh bem tzada veira. The obvious interconnection between the two stories is that there's either an avera in the bia that gives birth to this daughter who wants to marry the kohen, or there was an avera in the creation of this cholol who is now creating a cholola for the kuna. So therefore, I would suggest, Daddy, that Dilma Ba'amonishana Sabat Yisrael Ka'amar, the case is not what we thought. The case is talking about where the ger married a Bas Yisrael, and Afagav de Biatoba Avera Bitok Sheira, said Ula to his son, absolutely, yes, the Chiyata Ravin Omer of Yochanan, a Bat Ger Amoni, or a Bat Mitzri Sheni, who married a Bas Yisrael, she came from a Bas Yisrael, this Bat, so Rabbi Yochanan said she's kosher, just like you're saying, my son Rava. And Reish Lakish said she's pasul. Now, obviously, Reish Lakish's only makar that she should be pasul is he learns it from a kohen gadol ba'almana, and they are similar because in both cases there was an avera in the bia. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that it's kosher. I'll show you that he says it's kosher because Rabbi's, and I'll show you where he knows it's kosher from. He darshens it from this interesting pasuk, a betula me amav. It's a weird pasuk. So when Reb Zakkai came along and he said, betula me amav means a betula that comes from her own base. She is pure from both ends. She comes from the same place. A ger, let's say, of Ammon, who married an Ammonite. That's what me amav means. Lavi gioret mikana shikshera lakuna. And you know what Rabbi Yochanan's reaction to Rabbi Zakkai's braita was? What are you talking about? Ani shone, I look at that pasuk and I see exactly the opposite. That it could have said amav, it could have simply said betulat amav, and it says me amav. If it's got any part of this betula, even half of it, is from Yisrael. That's what it's saying, meaning that even in the case that it comes from a mixture of two different amamim, and you're trying to tell me it means the opposite? It means a giyort mikanavetulo? And when Rabbi Yochanan said, mishnei amamim, what do you think he meant? Meaning an amonish, an asa amonit, and he's calling it shnei amamim, mar shnei amamim, because the males are us and the kevas are mutter. No, because that was the case of Giyoret Mikana that Rabbi Yochanan made fun of. But that's obvious. So Rabbi Yochanan must be arguing with Rabbi Zakkai exactly like you said. And he's talking about a case of an Ammoni who married a Bat Yisrael. And by the way, there was another Lashon in this, according to which Rabbi Yochanan said that beferish. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the second Lashon, the Ikari Amri, The way that he put it was even more powerfully, that Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leih to Rabbi Zakkai, I understand Amav mi Amav, the extra mem, it could have said Betulat Amav, to tell me a case of a Betula that comes from Shnei Amamim, so far it's the same, but this is what's different than the second Lashon, Umeam, even from a nation that consists of two different Amamim, meaning where the Zohar and the Keva have different dinim, meaning even if it's an Amoni, and therefore you think that the fact that it's an Amoni who did an Avera in taking a Bat Yisrael would create a Pagam in the Bat, but it doesn't. And that's the whole point of the Pasuk. And you come along, you try to tell me, Giort mi kanavetulo? By the way, but according to this Lashon, Rabbi Yochanan actually defined the whole thing in terms of an Amoni, because it's the Amoni is the way that it's described here, is a nation that has two nations in it. So when Rabbi Yochanan made the original statement about Bat Mitzri Sheni, how did he know that? I mean, here it only talks about an Amoni, the way Rabbi Yochanan just darshened it, right? So you didn't explain. See, the first Lashon, it's the same. But over here, where the Pasuk itself is merames to an Amoni, is it the same for a Bat Mitzri Sheni? Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You'll tell me, well, why not? I mean, I'll learn it for an Amoni. If an Amoni marries a Bat Yisrael, so it's kosher, so too a Mitzri Sheni. No, because I could say it to you, listen, an Amoni that marries a Bat Yisrael, Amoni the Torah is not so marked on, because after all, an Amonit is muteret. But a Mitzri, even a Mitzri Sheni, there the Torah is makpid. And over there, the Torah would be maybe Asher, because in the Kevotar Asurot. No, says the Gemara. I'm going to talk the Gemara out now again, because it gets a little complicated, okay? And then we'll go over it again. Says the Gemara, no, that's not an issue. Because if a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Chnia, so that would be exactly the same, and the din is bitok sheira by definition, because she's a mitzri shlishit. So the Torah went out of its way to say a sheni and a shniya can still produce something which is completely mutter. So that shows that there's no problem. Yeah, but how does that prove there's no problem? A Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Shnia is not doing an Avera. But over here, the Mitzri Sheni married a Jewish girl. There is an Avera. Yeah, but there was an Avera in the case of the Amoni who married the Bas Yisrael also. And therefore, we'll go through this whole thing, V'chos Radin, Lo Rizek, Rizet, so on and so forth, and we'll say, okay, we'll bring in any case where there was an Avera to include a Mitzri Sheni, just as an Amoni, just like the Amoni is Mutter, so too is the Mitzri Sheni Mutter, who married a Bas Yisrael. Oh, man, said Rabbi Yosef, now I understand. I used to hear Rabbi Yehuda walking around and saying, oh, Amav, it could have said Amav, but to let Amav, it says Me Amav. I never knew what he was learning out from there. Now I understand. Lo yadana my karma. Now everything adds up. Okay, let's see that inside. Es the Gemara. Let's say for the Ikedi Amre. The Ikedi Amre, Omarle, Ani Shone, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ani Shone Amav, Me Amav, comes to tell me a betulah ba'ami shnei amamim, umi am sheyesh po shnei amamim. And you say this is ridiculous. Giyoret mi kanav etulo. So now, according to this second Lashon over here, where it's specifically mentioning an Amoni, because only an Amoni is a nation that is like two nations, because there's a difference between Zochem and the Keva. How do I know a Bat Mitzri Sheni that she's Ksher Lakun Aminole? And don't try to tell me it's the same as that. I mean, what's the difference between an Amoni or a Mitzri Sheni? Same thing. It's not the same thing. Because an Amoni is not a Schomer. Because an Amoni, the Nekevot Mutarot immediately. Yeah, but that's irrelevant. Because, look, the Torah says a Mitzri Sheni can marry a Mitzri Shnia, and the daughter is kosher. But a Mitzri Sheni that marries a Mitzri Shnia, there's no Avera. But there is an Avera with an Amoni that marries a Bas Yisrael. So, v'chozer adin, lo rizek rizeh, v'lo rizek rizeh, and the Tzad HaShavash Ben is that both of them are Isurim, and the next generation is Mutter. Omer of Yosef, Hainu de Shamanu Leil Reb Yehuda, used to go around muttering, Amav, and me Amav, lo yadana my koma. Now, when Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda came to town, he said, Ochitana kame, that what Reb Zakkai had said in front of Rabbi Yochanan, is that an Isha Ammonit, now he said a lot of things, and we're going to go through these things one by one. In the Braita that he quoted, it went like this. An Isha Ammonit is Kshera. Her child, if it came from Ammoni, her son, is possible because he's an Ammoni. But her daughter from an Ammoni is Kshera. But when? Only in the event that this was a case of a family that prayed together. And that means that they both were Nidgayer, the Ammoni and Ammonit. But a daughter of an Ammoni from a Jewish girl is possible. To which Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if you don't mind, tell it to the birds. Meaning, poke tani livra, go outside. Over there you can tell it to the birds. We don't have any birds in the Beis HaMedrash, but we're certainly not interested in hearing nonsense. Because, listen, much of what you said was right. I was ready to hear the first part. The first part was Isha Ammonit Kshera. Yes, that's true. Ammoni velo Ammonit. Then you said, a son of an Ammoni is possible. Yes, it's pretty obvious. He's an Ammoni. But then you said that the daughter of an Ammoni is Kshera. So what did you mean, Kshera? Kshera to be Baba Kahal. Obviously, even the mother is Kshera Lekahal. So he, mi boy, Ela Lekahuna. So far, you're okay. But here's where you start going off. You add in those words, but when do I say that the daughter is Kshera Bamedvar Mamurim? Only where the Ammoni married an Ammonit and they became Gerim together. Kishanit Gairu. But if he went ahead and married a Jew, Ava Bitami Ammoni Psula. Meaning what? What do you mean? Bitami? Who's bat? Ilema Ammonit, Shanasa Ammonit. You just said that that's kosher. You can't be referring to that. Hanu Giyorat Mikana. So you're trying to say that an Ammoni who married a Bat Yisrael, since the Bia was Bavera, the daughter is Usser. Go tell it to the birds. So this, in fact, actually backs up the entire approach of Rava Bar Ula. All right. Mitzri Vadomi. Over there, they are Usser. And the Nekevot are Usser, to which Rabbi Shimon said, no, it's a Kal v'chomer. Of course, if the idea over here is that even those who are Asura Isser Olam, namely Ammon, it's Ammon v'lo Amovit, Ammonit, so Kol Shekein, a Mitzri, is only Usser for till the third generation, for sure the Nekevot are immediately Mutter. So they said to Rabbi Shimon, look, if you're telling us your own Limud, we have an answer. What's the answer? My tshuva, what was the answer? The answer is very simple. You're making an assumption that the something that is usher wouldn't be usher for just three generations. That's not true. How about the din of arayot? A man is usher to marry his daughter. He's usher to marry his granddaughter, but he's allowed to marry his great-granddaughter, right? Fine. So then that means that the idea over there is you have arayot who are kisherim, they're kisherim lavo bekal, they're only usher to their krovim, right? And it's only three generations. So the same thing is true over here. Does it matter whether the three generations come from a male or a female? Does it matter whether this is your granddaughter from a son or your granddaughter from a daughter? No. And nonetheless, the first three generations are usher, but they're actually, same thing is true over here. That's a simple proof. That's our answer. Well, Rabbi Shimon can say back to you, excuse me, but that's different because arayot are very chomer. Arayot is an iser karet. I'm not talking about an iser karet over here. I'm talking about the din of a mitzri. I mean, for heaven's sakes, there's no iser karet. Okay, fine. I'll bring you a raya from a mamzer. There's no iser karet in marrying a mamzer. But both Mamzer and Mamzeret are Usser. Ah, says Rabbi Shimon, so to speak. I mean, we're imagining this whole conversation. Oh, Rabbi Shimon would have said, that doesn't prove a darn thing, because a Mamzer is not allowed to be Baba Kal ever, whereas a Mitzri is allowed to be Baba Kal after Shalosh Doreis. That was my whole point. And therefore, you can't compare it to a Mamzer, which is more Chomer. Yes, but Arias prove that even where it's only three Doreis. Yes, but Arias is Kores. Fine. So let's make a tzad hashava. Chazra adin, lo rizek rizeh, lo rizek rizeh. What's the tzad hashava? That somebody is usur in marriage. That's the usur. Not to everyone, but to whoever they're usur. And when it does apply, it applies to both Zecharim and Nekevas. So why not Mitzri or Mitzrit? That's our answer to you. It should apply both Zecharim and Nekevas. Says Rabbi Shimon, no. The Tzad HaShavah Shabem is not that there's an Isser. The Tzad HaShavah Shabem is that there's an involvement of Isser Koras. Because the Mamzer was created through an Isser Koras. What is that? The Mamzer was created through an Isser Koras. Oh, it's my timer. Oh my gosh, my timer. Quiet, I tell you. Be quiet, damn spot. Out. Yes, so we'll just take another minute or two. So, I will tell you that the Mamzer was created from Karet, and the case of Arayot is an Isser Karet. Whereas Rabbanan will say, we say that a Halal that comes only from a Chiyav Aseh is nonetheless not involved with Karet in any event. So don't tell me that you need an Isser Karet. Pasul, a halal pasul's even from an Isser Aseh, K'Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, because he said, even a Kohen Gadol who takes a non-betulah, which is only an Isser Aseh, it's a lava ba miklal Aseh, and therefore you cannot prove anything, that it should be Usser anyway. See? So why is Rabbi Shimon so low-keyed about this? I mean, Rabbi Shimon says low-key that actually, what does low-key mean? Low-key means low on the one hand and key on the other hand. So the low must mean he's got an answer to your question. And the key must mean is that there is anyway something else involved. So what is the low-key? The low-key is like this. First of all, I disagree with your way of disproving me. Because I don't agree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and I don't agree that a halal can come from an Isser Aseh. So therefore, there's no way for you to answer my Kal V'chomer, my friends. Thank you very much. Now, in your own respected opinion that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, let's move on to the key and away from the low. So the din that I'm telling you happens to be not my own Kal V'chomer, which I think is a perfectly valid mocker, but you don't like it. So therefore, why don't we turn to the fact that I am telling you a halacha that I was mekabel from my rabbeim. Halacha ani omer. Tanya, and it says in the Braita, Amar lam Rabbi Shimon, first of all, I'm telling you a halacha, and secondly, read the pasuk. Pasuk makes it clear that I'm right. Why do you think that the pasuk stresses banim asheiv al dulam dor shlishi? Why did it say banim? Banim means boys, not girls. Velo banot. Tana rabbanan in the bright that said banim, that Rabbi Shimon said banim velo banot. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Said Rabbi Yehuda, well, why don't you read the next words? It says banim asheiv al dulam dor shlishi. So the cause of tala andalei da, the pasuk is saying those who are born. Those who are born is either male or female, or there's a more subtle point to those who are born. Namely, if it's saying that there are those who are born who could be a Mitzri Sheni, how would you get a Mitzri Sheni, and how would you get a Mitzri Shlishi? So it's telling you that if a mother gives birth to them, if she is a Rishona, then a Ben is a Sheni. But if the Nekevot are not Asurot at all, what do you mean she's a Rishona? If they're not Asurot at all, so then the whole thing wouldn't make any sense. What does it have to do with the Leida? There's no such thing as being a Mitzri Shlishi. That would be the more subtle point that he's making. So you see that actually there is clearly a Raya against you, if anything. And therefore, it's referring Bedafka to Talan Beleida. Rabbi Yochanan points out, you know something? If it wouldn't be that Rabbi Yehuda said that, if he hadn't been able to show that the Pusik made it dependent on Leida, boy, would he have been messed up. Because they would have smashed him, man, smashed him, when he came into Beis HaMedrash, because he wouldn't have been able to answer the questions. he wouldn't have matzah yadav v'raglav b'beit ha-medrash. He would have had to crawl out on his belly. It would have been so embarrassing. Because, look, remember that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kahal Gerim is called Kahal Hashem, remember? So then how would there ever be such a thing that a Mitzri Sheni could become a Mitzri Shlishi? Who would he marry? I mean, he can't marry a Mitzri because, I mean, that's a Gioret, and a Gioret is Kal Hashem, and it says, Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem. He can't marry a Jew because that's Kahal Hashem. So can you explain to me, they would look at him like, okay, brilliant, you're really brilliant. So you're telling me that a Pasuk is talking about an impossible case. So there is this Mitzri speaking about good old Minyomin, you know, to dream an impossible dream. I will marry a Mitzri Chenit and my daughter will be Kshera Lekuhuna. Nonsense. You're not allowed to marry a Mitzri Chenit.
Lo Kihoti.
What do you mean, says the Gemara? I mean, the case is pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, not everybody listens to what they're supposed to listen. Maybe it means that in the event that he was a bad boy and he did an Isser and he married the Kal Hashem, that the third generation or the second generation, if this took place in front, that then the halacha would be that the third generation is mutter. The Torah doesn't discuss bad boys. I'm not going to tell you a halacha of D.E. That's nonsense. That's why I say he would have to crawl out on his belly. The Torah doesn't discuss de'is. How come it talks about mamzers? Last I heard, mamzers only get there because of de'is. Somebody was a bad boy somewhere. So why are we talking about a mamzer? What do you mean the Torah doesn't discuss de'is? A mamzer is a de'e. Oh, come off it. You know the answer to that. Of course the Torah tells us what the din is in the event that somebody said, did something, and now we have to deal with the Isser that came from that, the E of Isser, it's going to write. But what the Torah is going to say, and the third generation, where the guy was a no good, and he went ahead and didn't listen to my roots, and he went and married the first, and then the next generation did the same. The third generation is mutter. That's crazy. Why would the Torah do that? So the Eli Isura, yet, then yes, but the Eli Torah, no, lo katav. Well, what about the case of a Marzer Grushato? A Marzer Grushato, it says over there, Toeva, he. And we dash from there, he Toeva, the Ein Bonea Toevi. So why did the Torah tell me what the din is that if somebody was a bad boy and he remarried his wife after she went ahead and married somebody else, that his son is not a problem and that he's kosher? So there, the Torah wrote also, a grand halacha about someone's son who did something wrong. Okay, come on, man. Over there it says toiva. What is the pshat toivahi? It's coming to tell me the iser. But since the lashon of toiva would have meant that the child is usher, it throws in the word toivahi to say, by the way, I'm only saying she's a toiva. But the point of the pasuk was to tell me the iser, not the heter. Of course, we could be able to be derish that there's a heter. But over here, the Torah is introducing this whole grand idea, dor shlishi are welcome. That's terrible. What do you mean, dor shlishi are welcome? You can't even get a dor shlishi unless somebody did something wrong in two generations. That's why I say it's a good thing that he said it goes after the noladin, that it's both ben and bat. Now I understand. Okay. So now they can marry each other. And is she not a kosher, not a normal gioret?